Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Working hour two of the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Joe Pyburn. I'm Tom Nelson. Matt Nelson behind the glass, keeping this runaway radio train somewhere in the vicinity of the tracks. And on the phone, it starts with a B, it ends with a B, and it's got a big O in the middle. It's Bob Buchanan of BOMAC Tackle. What's up, Bubba?
Morning, Bob.
Good morning, gentlemen. Down here in Area 11, the wind has not started yet.
Nice.
It's a beautiful morning, and I got a couple hundred friends around me.
Nothing better than that.
So are you fishing the South Sound Derby this morning?
I am. My son, yesterday, said, "Dad, let's fish that Derby tomorrow." And so we're doing it.
Are they the unauthorized smuggled downriggers on board the boat? Your only clue of which was you just saw a pattern of four empty holes on your gunwale, because you don't really allow downriggers on your boat. But,
I had a lot of movies sent to me with those things on there this past week when I was up there with you guys. And but it was on the dock when we left, and that's where it's at. And we got jig rods going today.
Attaboy. So Puget Pounders are being deployed in the South Sound. So, are you in 11, or are you down there 13, or what's the drill?
I'm in 11 at the Claybanks right now.
Gotcha.
Just keeping an eye on things, waiting for something to happen here. We got a little ways to go to this tide change, and I expect things to start picking up down here a bit. From what I'm hearing, it's been a little slow in the general vicinity from the slug pile on down this way, and maybe even at the mouth. So there might have been a little daylight bite, but everyone's waiting for a tide change now.
And that's kind of the deal down there, right? It's basically a tide change program.
It is right now, and it's, you know, these fish are starting to stage. And as we saw last week, a lot of our fish were getting a little dark around the gills, and these fish are beelining down here through Kent, some of them, and staging up, whether it's at the mouth of the river or right here in close proximity. So they're getting ready.
Bob Buchanan of bow-mac.com joining us this morning. And, of course, I get a lot of questions about that Puget Pounder jig. But some of the gear that you make that's so near and dear to me is the shrimp gear. And last night, we had the WDFW 5 p.m. news dump with some good news. Spot Shrimp reopens for the final Puget Sound harvest opportunity beginning August 11th. So they're going to get Area 6, excluding the Disco Bay, 7 South, and an entirety of Area 8. And the last time 8 was open, pretty solid stuff.
That is pretty solid. And again, they're letting us finish up that quota, and that's good stuff. I can't wait to hear it. But keep in mind, folks, this is going to be the highest current we've dealt with up there in 8182 in a couple of years. On a shrimp opener. So that coefficient's tipping it up there in the high range. So plenty of weight and plenty of flotation.
Do you alter your depths in a situation like that? Would you try to fish a little bit shallower or manipulate your fishing location to get out of the heavy body of current that folks are going to experience on August 11th?
If possible, but generally in the spots I've fished up there, there's no getting away from it.
Right.
You're going to pop that emergency buoy, insurance buoy on from the get-go and keep an eye on it. And if you have a wind, if you get north wind up there and that tide moving just right, you could be in for a rough day keeping an eye on your equipment. So you got to wait it good so it doesn't get away from you, and you got to have those graduated floats in place and that emergency float on there to keep everything safe.
So run through that for us real quick, Bob. And so what you're referring to is, you know, people are required to have one yellow float marked with their name, address, telephone number, okay?
Correct.
That is
correct.
Just where you start with your flotation system. You use several floats that come online. So describe how you set yourself up for success with your staged flotation.
I'm setting two large ones at the get-go, but they are separated by about a foot and a half of floating poly rope. And so that the first one kicks in, and then when the current really gets going a little better, the second one will kick in. And then if need be, I'll snap the emergency one on the end of that. And when it kicks in, you're not shrimping very productively.
So, Bubba, with an opener like this, you're looking at, let's see, you got 11 a.m.
Yeah.
to 3 p.m. This is August 11th,
right,
in Area 8182. It's a short window. What do you like to run for bait when you want to fish these pots fast? You want to get those shrimp in your pots. You got all that current. What are you looking to put in your pot for bait?
Well, hopefully you're going to get something in there that's going to leave a good scent trail. And with the amount of current you're going to have, you're going to have one container out there of a little thicker bait that's going to keep them in there and keep them feeding. But your bait's going to be a little thicker than normal, but you definitely want something with a scent trail, some kind of fish that's going to put a good trail on, not necessarily leech a bunch of the fish, but it's going to put out a scent trail that's really going to bring them in and hone them in, and then they're going to key in on that bait that you have in your other container.
So you're going to run your usual pellets. You're going to grind those suckers up, get some oil in there, maybe some ground mackerel. That's going to be your thicker bait. And I have something now, Bubba. I just got a hold of some stuff here that I want to try to get some in your hands. I'm going to give some to Tom. So I'm working with this company, Crustacean Sensation. They put out a pretty cool product. It's taken me a while to get my hands on it from them, but it's a can of tuna bloodline. It is canned just like you would buy a can of tuna out of the grocery store.
Sure.
And it's bloodline. It is a perfect shrimp bait. And I just got my hands on it this week. And then last night I mentioned to you, we have this opener. So I'm pretty excited. I was going to kind of trickle this stuff out, but, tomorrow I will have one of my drivers put it at Holiday Sports in Burlington. It'll be at John Sporting Goods at Everett. It'll be at Triangle Market in Snohomish. Perfect timing for this shrimp opener. And these things, it's a can of tuna bloodline that is going to get those shrimp headed for your pots. I guarantee you guys, this is some killer bait.
Yeah, and if folks are like me, they've between crabbing open and all these shrimp openers we've been fortunate enough to have, I've run out of my scent material, and that sounds like the cat's meow. That's something I need.
Well, and the cool thing is it comes with a plastic – you can get a plastic can holder for it and a zip tie and just hang it in your pot. And then – but for me, the ability to have this stable can, just like a can of tuna, and keep a case of it on the boat, so when you need it where you're crabbing or shrimping, you just open it up. It's right there. It's stable. It's not going to stink.
And, there you go.
And, you know?
I mean, we sell pellets. Pellets are the only thing that Raised Bait sells that can just sit on the shelf. We've never had – everything is frozen with us.
It's nothing stable and canned. Yeah.
Perishable. It's going to go bad if you don't use it or keep it in the freezer. So this is kind of exciting. It's something that we can offer guys. Like you said, Tom, guys can buy a case of it, tuck it away on the boat. You got 24 little cans of tuna. It's going to be great for crabbing.
Yep.
We're going to have a winter crab season. So
yeah,
I'm excited to kind of get this out there and get it in guys' hands.
Bob Buchanan from BOMAC joining us this morning. Bob, so what is the state of the Dungeness in the South Sound? What are we hearing out of that Area 11 opener we've had this summer?
I'm getting the reports have been pretty dead glim, not very good. We've gone out twice. We went out that first weekend at the Sunday Monday openers, and in 2 days, six pots. I think we pulled 26, 28 crabs, and that for a traditional opener, that's not very good.
No,
I've had single pots that have pulled 20s. On the opener, and my son went out this last weekend, which is only the next time we've gone out, and he did go deeper, 140 foot range in the same spot, and with two pots, he had 18 crabs in that first day. So that was it showed that it could be getting a little bit better. So I'm probably going to give her heck tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow morning, get the pots back out and see what I come up with, because it's going to be done here shortly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And but I do believe that because we've probably not gotten that many crab, we could see a winter opener hit down here in 11, which we haven't had for years. And I have high hopes for that, because there's a lot of crab out deep that work their way up shallow and want to capture these spawned out fish that are coming out of the Puyallup system and working their way around the beaches and the shallower areas. So I think it could get pretty good this fall for them if we get an opener for winter crab down here.
Yeah, there's nothing better than being able to go out and get crab in the winter. I love crab in the winter, especially when we don't, you know, there's not a lot of opportunity anymore for us to be out on the water in the winter doing much of anything. So pretty cool to be able to go out and get some crab in the wintertime.
Crabs for Christmas.
Christmas crab.
You know, I mean, everybody, you know, my mom has a Christmas Eve crab waffle thing, right, where everybody puts strawberries and you know, whipped cream. Dude. Get some butter on that waffle, crab it up, crab waffles. It's a thing. So
you can put crab on anything.
I could just see you with an ice cream scoop of crab right in the middle of a waffle covered with cocktail sauce.
And you, nothing about that is wrong. He's Bob Buchanan, bo-mac.com. All right, buddy, can't wait to get out and fish with you again, and thanks for jumping in this morning.
Good luck this morning, man.
All right, yeah, thanks for having me. Good job. We'll talk to you later.
All right, buddy, talk to you soon. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
Puget Sound Chinook quota update. Came as no surprise to Marine Area 9 Admiralty Inn that reached its king salmon quota as of last week and closed with an estimated catch of 4,420, or 94% of the quota. Area 9 remains open for pink salmon and fin clip coho salmon. Chinook catch rates and the angler effort has increased in Area 10 off Seattle, but with only 26% of the quota used up, we have a long August opportunity remaining with pinks and no coho fin clip restriction. Area 11 sits at 51% of the quota and is also looking to make a deep August run.
Lake Wenatchee Sockeye. The amazingly scenic lake is now open for two sockeye over 12 inches daily. Target these sockeye at the upper end of the lake between the Little Wenatchee and White Rivers. These sockeye are a little shy of the sun, so later in the day, hit the shady part of the lake on the southern shore. Standard sockeye gear, including Ott Dodgers and Bear Red Gamagatsu hooks, in the 25 to 35 foot range, and slow is the way to go. Based on the current sockeye passage analysis at both dams, WDFW projects 29,000 total sockeye are destined for Lake Wenatchee. This provides an estimated 6,000 sockeye to be available for harvest above natural spawning escapement goal of 23,000 fish. This fishery will be monitored closely and may close on short notice depending on angler participation and harvest rate.
Coastal salmon update. Marine Area 1 El Waco, 3,300 anglers got 210 Chinook and 3,400 coho for overfish rod. El Waco is only 20% through that Chinook quota. Area 2 Westport, 1,700 anglers tallied 725 Chinook, 675 for coho for a 0.8 salmon overall catch per rod. Westport is only 37% through the Chinook quota. Marine Area 3 La Push, 200 anglers landed 53 Chinook, 137 coho for over a salmon per angler, which is the best on the coast. In Area 4, Nia Bay, 1,000 anglers caught 275 Chinook, 200 coho for 0.7 catch overall. Nia Bay is at 71% of the Chinook area guideline, only 19% of the coho quota. Overall, through July, the coast sits at 23% of the coho quota and 41% of the Chinook quota, so the ocean should sail right into September.
The famous Bowie 10 fishery opened on August 1st. The Chinook mushroom cloud last Sunday was none other than one of the hottest openings in the region's signature fishery in recent memory. The Lower Columbia Fisheries Control Zone, also known as Bowie 10, is open for business, and business is great. On the heels of last year's 250,000 returning Chinook salmon, we're looking at around 500,000 returning Chinook being forecast to return this year. So in other words, it's going to be epic. Things have loosened up a bit from last year's shortened season, so here's the drill. August 1st through the 10th, hatchery Chinook and hatchery coho retention allowed. The daily adult bag limit is 2 hatchery salmon, 1 may be a Chinook. August 11th through September 6th, adult Chinook, both native and hatchery coho retention allowed. The daily adult bag limit is 2 salmon, 1 maybe a Chinook. Stay tuned for the living legend, Buzz Ramsey's rundown on this fishery in the next segment.
North Coast of Puget Sound Halibut Fishing reopens on August 19th. Sport Halibut Fishing reopen along the North Coast, Marine Areas 3 and 4, and in Puget Sound, Marine Areas 5 through 10 on Thursday, August 19th. These additional dates should allow recreational anglers the opportunity to access the remaining Washington sport allocation available after that traditional season in the spring. The fishery in these areas will open 3 days a week, Thursday through Sunday, until a remaining quota is reached. Marine Areas 1 and 2 will also open to an all-depth butt fishing day on Friday, August 27th. An additional Area 1 and 2 all-depth day could be added in September if there's remaining quota.
Canadian border opens Monday. The opening of the U.S.-Canadian border is set to begin on Monday morning. Canada plans to open its land borders to fully vaccinated U.S. citizens and U.S. permanent residents for non-essential travel at 12:01 a.m. on August 9, 2021. The additional stipulation is that Canada is requiring a negative test within 72 hours of border crossing. Individuals must be 14 days out from full vaccination to be eligible travelers. Should use the arrive can to submit travel information, including proof of vaccination. For the time being, private vessels entering Canada are prohibited for reasons that remain unclear.
Yeah. The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com. Your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
So let's say you wanted to go fish Barkley Sound or Nootka in your own boat.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. As long as everybody's got a shot, tow your boat, cross the border, launch it, go fish.
But you can't take run your boat across the border by water.
So you got to drag your boat across the border and you launch in Canada and you fish in Canada. But you can't run your boat.
They want your gas money.
I have no earthly idea.
All right, Nick Kester checking in.
No, not Nicky.
10 pinks in the box before 7 a.m. Listen, all of them between 5 and 7 pounds, and the biggest is 8 pounds. So, dude, these pinks are big.
So
are nice pinks.
They are nice
pinks.
Come on. They are. And that's a wonderful, wonderful sign, because you remember a couple years ago, they came in little skinny pinky pinks, and they were biting everything because there was no food in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
This year, quite the contrary, great feeding conditions in the ocean, and they're coming in big. And so from a reproductive success standpoint, big, healthy humpies can move more rocks and spawn more effectively. So it's wonderful, and our rivers are going to get fertilized by that stuff, and let's get another snowpack without floods on top of this thing. And you got to love what's going on. You got to love what's going on in Astoria. And you got to love your three commercials or four commercials away from hearing Buzz Ramsey, the author of Buoy 10 Tides and Strategy in the latest Northwest Sportsman, the living legend, the hat, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Buzz Ramsey, joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Well, my Duckworth is going to be heading down to Astoria on Monday morning, staged and ready to go, and eventually our next guest will be joining us in the boat. He's the author of so many magazine articles and so many techniques that we've all used. Buzz Ramsey joining us shortly here. I bum-steered Matthew and gave him the cell number, and his cell number doesn't work from the house.
I had to clean up Buzz's contact last night. I had about 13 numbers in there for Buzz.
But the cool thing is with experience and a longer term view of this fishery, his historical perspective is unique and so instructive, because in the grand scheme of things, you know, you and I have spent a lot of time, you know, fishing together in Puget Sound and whatnot, and we've learned, you know, a lot over the past few years of fishing together. Buzz, when was the first time you remember fishing that magnificent estuary now known as Buoy 10? When was your first season that you can really remember targeting the fall Chinook down there? And what?
Well, we used to fish, you know, before it was called Buoy 10, we would fish in the river, particularly, you know, the latter half of August. You know, we'd go down there and fish out in the ocean. This was in the 70s. And, in fact, we'd go down there and we'd fish in the ocean, and if we didn't get them very good out there or only got coho, then we'd run back in the river to catch kings. Or sometimes we'd run up to the what we called the candlestick up the north side and chase Chinook up there. You know, generally the current, of course, depends on the winds, but the ocean current is generally going to the south. So a lot of times the schools of coho are staging off the plume coming out of the Columbia to the south. That can be awfully good at times. And then the Chinook, of course, a lot of those are coming from the north, so north side is better for that. But then in the river, our biggest kings really came in the river back then. I remember one time, this is way before the control zone, I was out there attacking right at high tide, right between the tips of the jetties, and I caught a 40-pound Chinook. So, yeah, but nobody really fished. You know, not many guys, at least that I knew, fished above the west end of Desdemona Sands, the checkerboard. You know, we'd fish about up to that point, and I'm sure there were some guys fishing up further, but we kind of stayed down in that area on the flood, you know.
If you had to pick a tide, and here's the deal, we printed out your article that's currently it's in the July issue of Northwest Sportsman magazine, and you've got a snippet of a tide chart, and for somebody that hasn't had a lot of experience on this fishery, this article breaks down in great detail and by tides and by stages of the tides from August 1st through the 12th, 13th through the 20th, the whole month you've got broken down well into September. So can you boil this down for us as far as how you attack certain tides and what you're looking for and how that dictates where I realize this is a big complicated question, but your massive intellect can more than process this. So what give us your basic tidal and current philosophy for the Buoy 10 fishery?
Well, here's the deal. When the tide is outgoing, running hard, fish collect at the mouth and wait, you know, when it's outgoing, and they wait till the incoming flooding water transports them into the estuary. So as that tide begins to flood, there's a pulse, a group of salmon there that allows that tide to push them up into the estuary as it's flooding. They're facing into the current, and they're allowing the flooding tide to push them into the estuary. On a low fluctuation, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet of water, you know, you won't get as many fish flooding in with it, and they won't push as far up into the estuary generally. And if you get successive days of that, which normally occurs, it's kind of a cyclical thing, then the lower and mid-estuary, really the mid-estuary, will fill with salmon, with a new wave of fish every day that flood into the mid-estuary. And then as the tides begin to build, it floods those fish further and further up into the estuary. And the biggest tides of the month generally push those fish to, or from maybe a mid-tide to the biggest tides of the month, push those fish to the bridge and above. You know, the North Channel, the False Channel, it extends 3 miles above the bridge. And, of course, the lead edge of the flooding water tends to push those fish into the North Channel. If you're out there on a good flood, you'll see that lead edge push on the north side. And for that reason, a lot of anglers will, when that tide is flooding like that, they'll be over there off Baker Bay, you know, just upstream from Milwaukee or up by the bridge and above the bridge. So the big tides is when they move up above the bridge. A lot of the guides you talk to, they like those soft tides that build, especially mid-month and beyond, those soft tides areas where, or times, when the mid-estuary fills with fish. And because then they're the most abundant in the mid-estuary, and they'll go out there and stage then. But it's all about the tides of Buoy 10, as I've said many times. So each wave of salmon, your strategy needs to be to try to catch that wave of salmon. So one of the things that happens is anglers will point their boat west into the flooding water and to greet or intercept, really, that wave of salmon that's being pushed in by the tide. And so if you catch that wave, then maybe you back up with that flooding water, you back troll upstream, your bow facing west into that flood, and try to stay with the pulse of the school of salmon that are flooding in with that ocean water. And a lot of, of course, it's variable depending on these tides, and they're never the same year to year, which is why every year I write the daytime high and low tides on my monthly, at a month at a glance calendar, so I know exactly what's going on, and I can see the difference in the heights, because that tells me how far those, that pulse of fish is going to push into the estuary. And I like to fish the bigger tides, because you've got some currents and current edges and stuff to work with. So, also I might say that on the flood tide, fish tend to be higher in the water column. When the tide is running hard, you get a hard tide running, then, you know, they'll get on, they don't want to battle that current, they'll get on the edges, they'll get down near the bottom, and that's the place to really target, put your focus.
We saw that last year right below the bridge where we were facing into it.
Yep.
We didn't figure it out, really. Austin
right.
had it dialed.
Austin did have it dialed.
He had it dialed, and it wasn't so much what he was running, it was where. Because those fish were elevated.
Up in the water column.
And we were probably fishing too deep.
Yep.
And he knew exactly where they were, and he was,
putting the wood to them, no doubt about it. Buzz Ramsey joining us this morning, and Buzz, another thing that I've really noticed is if you're catching fish, you try to stay with them. That's great, but with sonar getting so much better, one of the things we've noticed is you'll see that flood start interrupting an ebb, or vice versa. You'll see the layers in the water column. And when you see that, you stop marking fish, right? They don't like that chaotic, turbulent water. So can you expand on that a little bit about how you know when to move? Because I mean, you're marking fish, and then all of a sudden your screen, you see a layer like in the middle of the water column, and the water looks different and dirty and turbulent, and the fish are not there. Then it's time to move, brother.
Time to go.
Yeah.
Well, what happens is, of course, the ocean water being salty and denser and colder, it floods in underneath the surface water, the Columbia. If you're down, you know, anywhere west in the estuary especially, but it's true on a big tide all the way to the bridge, that underwater, a lot of the fish are flooding in on that underwater flood of current. And where that meets the surface current, that's really a salt and a fresh mix, there's a definite line, like you suggest, on your screen. And if you're down there in the west end of the estuary on a big flood tide, those fish are a lot, the majority of the fish are screaming in. They're allowing that flood underneath cold ocean water to flood them in with the push of the tide. And they're screaming by you. I mean, probably at, you know, I mean, I don't know how fast. I've tried to troll with it. I've tried to put 20, 24 ounces on a troll with it and try to go fast enough to be effective on those fish on that underneath current. You can't go fast enough. It's really moving in. But when that's happening, where the fish bite is above that line. You set your gear above that line where those two currents meet. That's where they are. So like with a big tide, it'll push a lot of coho into the mouth of the Columbia down near buoy 10 on the big tide. 8 foot or more of exchange is really the best. And they'll flood in, but they'll come up out of that deeper water, or they'll just be in that surface water, and you can catch them. You don't want to put your line out very far because that bottom current catches it and you can't tighten the drag on your reel tight enough to keep it from going out. So, yeah, that's a pretty interesting phenomenon. But then you get upriver further. Of course, it's not as strong up there, hold into the current, and they'll be flooding in there. But they tend to bite, I've found, right above that line. That's where you seem to catch them. And when that is happening, Tom.
Well, I can't wait. It's only gonna 10 or 11 days, buddy, and we'll be learning from you on the, we'll get some on the job training, because it's always a wonderful experience to benefit from your vast store of knowledge on this fishery, Buzz. And Joey and I can't wait. Yep. I'm gonna apologize in advance because there may be a gentleman on board the boat that's one of the only two guys in the NFL to get ejected from the Pro Bowl for fighting. So Kevin Gogan will probably be joining us. And so, I'll make sure to keep him under lock and key and behave himself. But he's been pestering me. He wants to come fish with you. So.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah. You know, the day we're going on the 17th, the high tide is 10 a.m. So that's a great tide. We're gonna get the latter half of the flood and the first part of the outgo, you know, at 10 o'clock is high, 10 a.m. And so that should be a great tide. Of course, the next day it's 45 minutes later, or let's see, a little over an hour later. And so we got a great tide. The latter half of the incoming, first part of the outgo is, generally speaking, the best bite of the day down at Buoy 10.
So put this in perspective, Buzz Ramsey, what you heard last Sunday on the opener, and put this in perspective with the last decade maybe. What are your expectations with regard to this fishery, given what we've seen so far?
I think we're looking, I mean, obviously, if it's anywhere near the forecast, I mean, we got over a half million Chinook coming back, the best Chinook season as far as length of the season that we've had in a long time. We're going to get to fish Chinook through Labor Day. We got 1.5 million or more coho coming back. Just over 1 million of those are early coho. And 600,000 late coho. So this is going to be one of the best Buoy 10 fisheries we've seen or we've had in a long time. Mm-hmm. For our listeners out there, you know, Chinook, the last day for Chinook is we're going to get through Labor Day, the 6th of September. And then the river closes to Chinook, no Chinook retention after the 6th. But then on the 7th, it goes to 3 coho per day. And with this many coho coming back, it should just be a barn burner down there. Got to release the Chinook on the beginning of the 7th of September. But 3 coho limit, that's going to be pretty spectacular.
Oh, can't wait. Cannot wait.
Hopefully by September 6th, we've all had our fill of Chinook. And we're ready to maybe catch a couple coho. That half a million Chinook has me pretty excited.
Oh, dude. All right, Buzz Ramsey, the man, the myth, the legend. Thank you so much for your time. I just love hearing you break down this fishery, and I know it benefits so many people to get your historical perspective on this. And we'll see you in Astoria soon. I'll reach out this week. We'll tighten up the timing and the plans, my friend.
Always great, Buzz.
Sounds great. Thank you very much. Right. Good luck to everybody. Hope to see you down there.
All right, Buzz. Thanks again, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. 866-979-3776, locally to us, 642-1-3776. We got Jeff from Owala on line one. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good to talk to you again after these months and years.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
Hey, my neighbor's going to take me out tomorrow out of Port Orchard.
Nice.
Which way would you head?
From Port Orchard? I'd probably hang a left and run up into Area 10. We've been hearing some really solid stuff from the oil docks. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can find that the proverbial school of bait off of Kingston in that deep water and run your gear, particularly maybe plugs this time of year on top of that bait. So there's
how deep you run the plug.
Well, so here's the thing: they're just off of Apple Tree Cove and just off of Kingston. There's this massive body of bait, and it's this conglomeration of herring and euphausid shrimp and everything else. And the water in that area is like 350, you know, really, really deep. The top of that bait school, Jeff, once that light comes up in the sky, is probably going to, the top of it's going to be 120. So I'd be running, right, Joey? So,
yeah.
So I'm running a plug at 110, 115, wire.
It's
your fish is suspended. It's easy.
Yeah. Trust in your electronics,
yeah.
And you want to be above that bait on that fishery. The bait's so thick that if you run your gear down into the bait,
you're just
lost.
Dude. Yeah.
You want to be above it. Those Chinook are going to be resting, hanging on top of it, just sitting on the bait. Your gear goes by. So, yeah, look at where the bait is and be 10 to 15 feet above that bait. Realize your plug's going to dive down a bit.
What about the points on the west side, like Restoration, Yomalt, Skiff? Is any action?
Yomalt, Skiff, Tai Shoals, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you bet. Now, but my only reticence in keeping you there is the fact the last couple guys I sent to Yomalt and Wing Point and Tai Shoal was just infested with shorts.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I mean, dude, and then here's the other thing too. You know, you're going to have humpies rolling down that neck of the woods too. I'm not saying that you're not going to have humpies, you know, in off the oil docks or, off Kingston, but that's something to think about there too, is just staying away from the sublegals.
And then my second point is usually we would be up at Rivers Inlet right now.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy.
We didn't go this year because of the kind of the COVID and the, you know, I think guys that go are kind of going to be looked at as angry Americans since we're not opening up the border southbound. And we also lost our great fishing buddy, Jeff Larson from Wyoming, who had gone up there since the 90s and actually owned a cabin, bought a cabin at Dawson's Landing, but he succumbed to COVID in December and only 62. So
yeah, I'm sure sorry to hear that, Jeff.
Sorry, buddy.
You know, yeah. That's...
We camp right next to, you know, we know Larry Serdick. And,
sure.
And we call those guys SEAL Team 6 because they always leave it dark 30 with their lights on, just like a Marine.
Yeah.
Marine. Yeah. Land. So is any chance you get a report from him next week?
You know what? I will. Well, because they're out at Nia Bay right now. I spoke to Larry's son, Mike, and they're out in Nia Bay, and they're putting the wood to him running out there from CQ, but I certainly will. Jeff, we got a dash, but thank you for the call, and thanks for listening, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Okay, bye.
All right, coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week in the techniques you need to succeed. It's Roy Robinson RV. Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinian and Delady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean Journey Red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really?
Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere.
Really?
Head over to RoyRobinson.com. You're going to find Class A diesels, Class B motorhomes, Class C, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, and so very, very much more at their new location, 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard in Marysville, or online at RoyRobinsonRV.com. We're going to be spend a little bit of time in a Roy Robinson motorhome down at Buoy 10, and the Roy Robinson guys are going to come down there and watch rods
blow up,
get folded. I mean, I love catching salmon. I love catching with a rod in hand. I love catching them on downriggers. But until you've been to Buoy 10 and watch a rod, just watch a big king salmon with 25 feet of braid, try to rip it off the side of your boat.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's a good time.
Dude.
Yeah.
I just love that. I mean,
that's it for me is Buoy 10, you know, really where.
Yeah.
It's got to be Buoy 10.
I mean,
right now.
We heard stuff last Sunday when it opened that I hadn't heard down there in decades.
And I heard it at 6:30 in the morning.
It's
like right away it started happening. It was like, whoa, something is happening.
Something. I got to go. I guess I put the boat down there last week of July. I mean, we can't because we still had business in Area 9 to take care of, right? And then the second day of the fishery was a lot tougher. But so when we go down to Buoy 10, there's I'm going to say two different basic techniques that you kind of need in your toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be able to spin a cut plug.
Yep.
Or you need to be able to spin a bait inside a helmet. Okay.
Like a fresh anchovy.
Sure.
Which that's, you know,
100%.
That's a killer.
And I got a
killer bait for down there.
You're going to be so
big. Those big,
yeah,
fresh anchovies that you spin in that head. And it's not a Puget Sound spin. It's
this
kind of corkscrewy thing.
And we're gonna do a couple videos.
Yeah, okay.
Too. It's definitely going to help. But yeah, there's a certain way that Chinook like to see something in an estuary. And it's gaudy. I mean, seriously, it is, you know, it's a little over the top. Let's put it that way. But, I mean, it definitely works. So you need to be able to spin an anchovy. You need to be able to spin a herring, you know, and being able to put a nice tight cut plug on there is absolutely huge because cut plugs are your meat and potatoes in this fishery. Now,
yep.
And those work great right on the bottom. But as you indicated in that interview with Buzz Ramsey, that middle of the water column, 360 Pro Troll bite with a spinner tight behind that definitely has to be one of the tools in your box, Joey Piper.
Yeah, and you know, it's really easy to fish the bottom.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
If the fish are taking the bait on the bottom, that's easy.
Right.
Get your gear on the bottom. And for us down there, I'm always checking my bottom. Right? I do it on the sound too.
Yep.
I'm always checking bottom.
Constantly.
I'll just run my downrigger down, boom, hit the bottom, bring it up. I do the same thing at Buoy 10. Boom, hit the bottom, bring it up a little bit. I want it almost ticking.
Yep.
That lead ticking.
100%. Yes.
Then when you move to the middle water column thing, it's tricky because look, you could be off by 5 or 7 feet,
sure,
and you're not going to get bit,
right?
So that's one of those things where if you have multiple rods on the boat, a guy like Austin's or you know, the most of the guides down there, they're running
six
rods.
Yeah.
So they got their feelers out.
Mm-hmm.
Once they find that depth, all the rods go to that depth.
Right.
And you'll see triples, doubles, triples. They'll just be getting hooked up. So guys should think about that. Don't put all your rods at one depth.
No.
Stagger those things and try to figure out where those Chinook are moving in that upper water column, because if you're missing that perfect depth, you're going to miss the bite. And buoy 10 is about bites.
It does.
You watch it. I talk about my first year down there with you, and I see it coming.
You
right?
Do.
And I'm like, I'm watching with binoculars, and I'm like, oh, here they come.
Yeah.
You can just see the rods blowing up and the nets out and guys excited, and here they come. And if you miss that bite or your gear's not working properly, you're not going to catch your fish.
Yeah.
So
so get down there by hook or by crook. I don't care.
Yeah.
You got to get down and experience.
Put your thumb out. Yeah, get down there.
Get down there for sure.
Jump in one of those. There's going to be guide boats all over. Get in there. Hide in the boat if you have to.
Stowaway.
Pop out.
The stowaway buoy 10 program.
Pop out on the first drag.
Yeah, there's a ton going on. You can always keep track of us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, at The Outdoor Line, at Joey Pyburn, and at Rob Ensley. You missed any of the show, make sure you jump on mynorthwest.com, grab the podcast, jump on the Apple iTunes app, or hit theoutdoorline.com. Stay tuned for an abbreviated John Clayton show, followed by Mariners baseball later. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, for Joey Pyburn right here with me, this is Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.